They either ask them, where's that found in the Word of God? Or else they're able to stand up unashamedly and say, well, this is what I see in the Bible, and let me read these verses to you. And that's what the difference is, as well as you know, because you have it in your own language. But when you see people with a different language starting to read the Word of God, and you start to hear it, and it really sounds, as they say, sweet in their ears, it's a really big blessing. Colossians 4:16, and when this epistle is read among you, cause it to be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. So again, Paul puts a lot of emphasis just on reading the Word of God. When we translate scriptures, we see indigenous New Testament churches established that truly glorify God if they have the Word of God in their language. And again, I've mentioned this before, there are churches today that where there are saved people, but they do not have the Word of God in their own language. Somebody put this little acrostic together. God's Word is our daily food, so Bible reading enriches any day. And that's the word bread. It truly should be our bread each and every day. More important, as we'll see, than the food we actually chase after and so busy with. When we get together, you have a party or whatever you're doing, everything around a party or a get-together or a fellowship is always surrounded around what? Surrounded around food. Well, the Word of God is much more important. It's our sole authority. It's our standard. It's our guideline. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or complete, truly furnished unto all good works. Think of that. Do you think what's in that verse? That he's totally equipped, she's totally equipped to do all good works? Can't do that if you don't have a Bible in your language. A matter of fact, this verse doesn't apply much at all. It's profitable for what? It's not profitable for anything if you don't have it in your own language. Matthew 4:4, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Some of these verses, I know many of you memorize them, but sometimes we can take them for granted and we can forget about them and forget that, yes, the Word of God is much more important than my daily bread. God's Word has been tested, it's been proved. Psalm 18:30, as for God, his way is perfect. The Word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. Sitting with my mother-in-law yesterday, and she started to sing in the home over there. She began to sing, trust and obey. What's it say after that? There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And she was singing that song, and I thought, that's really hitting home here for me, because there is no other way to be happy in Jesus Christ. And it is a special joy to see people have the Word of God in their own language, and especially today to see people who are older also be able to have MP3 players and the Word of God in their language. We have a lady, I was sharing this with you before, I'm sure, but this lady who, when we got the first set of MP3 players from Israel, and we put the Word of God on there, and I wasn't there, but this guy was telling me, he said, my grandmother said to me, you're going to go get me one of those. And so he said, off I went, and I bought one. They were at Wycliffe Mission Base, and he came back, and he gave it to her, and she had tears in her eyes as she said, now I can finally feed myself. I can finally have the Word of God in my own language. God's Word is truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth. 1 Peter 2:9 talks about us being sanctified, set apart. We're set apart for the work of God. These are all verses, again, you know, but people who don't have the Word of God don't know these truths. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. And one of the neatest things that I love watching is especially, I do it too, but especially our preachers over there because they know the language so well and the idioms and the little, as they would say, talk pictures, illustrations. This is one where a friend of mine, he just watched as he was learning the language, and as he was learning the language, we begin with the things they deal with every day in their everyday life, like going to the garden and building their homes and how they plan things and whatnot. So finally he got into warfare, and he said one day, he said, tell me a story about your shield. And so he says, okay. And they're always excited. People are always excited to tell us a story about how they do things. And they talk really fast in the language, these complicated languages. So he begins to tell him this story about this shield, and the fight starts, and one side is shooting the arrows, and as the arrows fly over, He said, we put up our shields and the shields cry out. And he continued on his story, and finally a missionary stopped him. He says, well, tell me why did you say the shield cried out? And he says, well, don't you understand? He said, all the arrows that were meant for me, the shield bore. Did you catch the picture? Yeah, he was pretty quick to pick up the picture. And when he shared that illustration with them, he said, you know how the shield bears all the arrows that were meant for me? Well, that's what Jesus Christ did for me. And when he shares that illustration with them, the lights start to turn on. And people begin to realize that this is the Word of God because it means something. That God has given them something in their physical life that they can actually compare to the Word of God. And lights turn on and people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. But my friends, it's important to have the Word of God so that they can read it. What about creation? Psalm 33 verse 6 says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Walk into a tribe like my tribe, and I asked them, it's been so many years that they haven't heard the story passed down. I said, so, you know, I said, from your father's days before, I said, how did you guys hear about the world being made? Oh, we don't know that. All as we know is that there was one big fat lady, and she lived in a cave, and she gave birth to all people. I said, okay, and that's about the end of the story. That's what ended in our tribe, because the whole story of creation has been lost, as it has been in many tribes. But when they begin to read the Word of God and they realize that it makes sense and that it's truth, it just really changes them. Hebrews 3:11-3 says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. What a wonderful verse. We were down visiting in Tampa, and we were at Rachel Vandenberg's brother's place, and Richard. And Richard had just gotten home, and we were supposed to spend the day at his, or yeah, we came there on Saturday and stayed there for the night. So he shared with us what he saw, wherever Ken Ham's thing is. I'm not sure, where's that, in Kentucky or something like that? Yeah, Kentucky. So here they built this ark, and one of the interesting things that he shared, he took a bunch of pictures inside, and he said, I was on a floor, and he said, they have the different rooms, and they've got little fake animals in there, and he said, I was looking at the back of one of the walls, and it had a little paper there, and it had 200 stories of the flood. Now, the good thing about that is it proves from different language groups around the world, these 200 stories proves that there was an actual flood. But the problem was is that the stories varied quite differently from the Word of God. Somebody had a sailboat running around with all these animals trying to fit them into the sailboat, and I don't know, I just can picture that not really working. But here, as he saw through the whole ark, it was evident that everything could work. But without the Word of God, without it being translated, without us giving it to people, then all kinds of fabricated stories can come up, which wasn't that, it was a long time ago, but if we go back, I gave you a little history lesson on the Word of God. We see back in the Middle Ages when the people in England never had the Word of God, and they decided to go with the Latin language, and people, astrologers and witches and all kinds of people like that had a great business, and everybody believed crazy stories. And people were not sound in the Word of God because they didn't have it. And along came John Wycliffe and translated the Word of God for the English people, and for which we can be very thankful. Psalms 130, verse 5 says, wait, I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. And Jeremiah 15:16 says, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord of hosts. I don't know about you, but there's many times that I read the Word of God, and it is a joy to read it because of the encouragement that I receive just by reading what, how much God loves us and what he's got planned for us. Psalm 138:2 says, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. You suppose a psalmist understood the value of the Word of God? Acts 6:2, the disciples too here. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. And Acts 6:4 says, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Again, there's many proofs and evidences in the word of God that the word of God is more important than our daily food. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to your word. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Can't hide the word of God in your heart if you don't have it. So we need people out there, our young men, young women, who are willing to go. And by the way, as far as I know today, there are many more women. We have men who teach the word from here, but there are many more women who are in translation probably than there are men. James 1:21 says, Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. And 1 Peter 2:2 says, As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. I have a little granddaughter in Oakwood, goes to Oakwood Bible Chapel in Windsor, and when I go there, she loves to eat, and she loves to have the milk, and she loves to just take that back, and she's a pudgy little thing. And in our tribal place in Papua New Guinea, if you're a bit pudgy, they'd say, you're absolutely gorgeous, you're beautiful. A sinentaki, they would say, meaning you're an absolutely gorgeous person. And of course, if a baby is pudgy and fat, that's even that much better. There are many things we can write. I just jotted a few things down. The Word of God guides us, equips us, strengthens us, shows us sin in us, blesses us, encourages us, it helps us, it teaches us, and you could probably add many things to that list. But if you don't have the Word of God, again, it can't help you that way, that it helps us. 160, 170 feet up in the trees live the people in Indonesia, not far from, well, I don't know how far they are, but where's... Was it help me? Jared and... Am I right? Laura, thanks. I blanked out on Laura there for a second. Where are they at? Can you tell me? Jakarta, right. So they're a ways away. But on the other half of our island and other parts of Indonesia, people live up off the ground, and in this case, 170 feet off the ground, hopefully to get away from spirits, maybe from people fighting, or from other things that people fear. And you've got whole tribes that live like this, and who's going to take them the Word of God? If only to be young again, Wayne, we could jog up those trees, and Wayne's ready to go, I can see it. These people need the Word of God. Wayne, what happens when you and your wife are ready to go to the garden in the morning, and you get down 200 and some steps? Can you see the steps? And you get down there and you say, oh, honey, I forgot my spade. Would you mind running back up and getting my spade? And she probably roll her eyes at you. Yeah, right. People living, still living, many of them without clothes. Some of them now receiving clothes. Actually, Wycliffe has tried to get into this tribe and just trying to reach out. I think at first they were chased out, but we're hoping that missionaries are able to get in these places. And I trust that you too will pray for these people because, again, they don't have the Word of God. They don't understand what's coming in. Some places they've seen white man come in and all they've done is steal. So why would they let the missionary come in? This is in Brazil. There are places in Brazil where there are groups that were chased from by the Peruvians that who have come in to across their borders. And they're actually shooting arrows at the plane going by here. And... But these people have been chased away from whatever the Peruvians want, whether it's their trees or rubber or whatever they're after, and chase these people further into the jungles. And the government has tried to get these people into groups where they're not bothered by anybody outside. And that's good if it's people trying to steal from it, but if it's a missionary trying to come in, they also want to stop that. So there's 100 tribes today, 100 language group, 100 different tribes around the world that have never been contacted by outsiders. It's hard to believe that we live in that kind of an age, right? I mean, we've got planes that zip by over us all the time. We've got technology. I can talk to my tribal guys today right now. We can sit there and go over some points that they're translating on. And yet there are people like this living in areas where they do not have the Word of God in their own language. There are close to 7,000 languages, I understand, in the world. And we have the complete Bible in 554 languages, the New Testament in 1,333. And then some have portions in 1,045, and that equals almost 3,000. I don't know how clear. Yeah, you can see that. So the full Bible, that's in 554 languages, represents 5,000 million people. And 1,003, 133 languages, represents 66 million people. We get over to portions of the Word of God is 281 million. And then there's about 4,000 languages with nothing representing over 500 million. Some of them, I believe, if not even half, they've started to work in those languages and translate the Word of God, but yet you're still looking at, it's a little more than what's on here, probably closer to 2,000 with absolutely nothing. And so these are some of the language groups around on the different continents around the world that do not have the Word of God in their own language. This is the 1040 window. How many have heard of the 1040 window? Yeah, a few of you have heard. So you've got your different lines of latitude, and in this box represents the bigger amount of people in our world. There's 16,000 ethnic groups around the world, and there's 50 groups here, 50 largest groups here, and here's some sobering thoughts. In these 50 groups, like there's way more than 50 groups in this block, obviously, but all 50 of these groups have less than 2% that seriously follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Individuals in these groups have very limited, if any, access to the gospel. One in five people on earth live in these 50 unreached groups. So it's not just the block, I'm just talking about 50 groups. I wish I knew how many was in that whole block. The 50 unreached people groups are comprised of almost 1.5 billion people, and every group is larger than 10 million people. I think that would give you enough work to do. None have an indigenous church capable of taking the gospel to the entire group. That may have changed. These are not new statistics, but they are made up of 22 of them are Muslim, 18 are Hindu, 5 are Buddhist, 3 are ethnic religions, 1 non-religion, and 1 is Sikh. And it says 46 of these 50 unreached people groups are in the 1040 window, and 43 are in closed countries. So some of the countries where my sister was, which is on the far west side of Africa, Senegal, some of the countries around there is just absolutely taboo to preach the Word of God, at least it was years ago. I don't know what it's like today, but many of these countries, they do not want Christians to come. These people are, or this lady, this people group is called the Makonde people, and they live in Mozambique, southern part of Africa. And they recently received the New Testament, and they had been taught to read and to write, so they were able to pick up the Word of God and begin reading right away. And one of the things they picked up right away, which was one of their quality traits that they really appreciate, is that the people that God is a generous God. And if you're a person who eats alone, which is a big insult to the people there, it means that you're not a generous person. You give your backside to people when you've got food or whatever, and so you're not a generous person. But as they began to read and they listened to the Word of God, a man stood up and he began to share a little bit about, because he had a little more knowledge of the Word of God, but he said, truly God is not a God who eats alone, because he's not a God who grasps at things, they would say, meaning that he didn't hold on to his only son, but he gave him freely to us so that man could have a way back to God again. So the people there were truly grateful to the missionaries who translated the Word of God, and they'd be able to realize how important God is. Well, back in Papua New Guinea, a stringed bag, which is called a bilum over there, that's the word, a Bible in every bilum, different missionaries and pastors and missions and different church groups have gotten together and decided we need to sign a contract so that we can get the Word of God in every bilum, because everybody has bilums. Most people have several of them, and they use them for different things. They use them, they have different designs from different tribal groups. They have some really nice ones that are much nicer than these, but they use them for carrying their money in. They use them for carrying their kids in. They use them for carrying their food in. They use them for all kinds of things, carrying bananas that they're going to replant and seeds and whatnot. They're just used for everything. So this represents our PNG Papua New Guinea flag. And here's a lady carrying a huge bag of greens. And So these are just some of the things they use them for, but one of the things they want to do is to get a Bible in each bilum. And we've been blessed. We had some ladies from the assembly in Tampa, Florida, actually, send us a bunch of bags that they made from this little strap, and it looks like, I don't know, maybe rain curtain material or shower curtain material. And they put a little Velcro on the other side and sent us 100 over there. And they've been really blessed because it kind of keeps the weather out and whatnot better than these string bags. But that is the goal, is to see the Word of God in the hands of everybody. Many of the people now would like it in their trade language, but there are still a number of language groups. I don't know how many, some people say over a couple hundred, that still need the Word of God in their own language. Here is one example. These people received the Word of God, and you can see the man with the blue shirt there. He's got a little bag, and the man standing up top. But there's a number there, man with the red shirt there. They're all holding different bags that the ladies took time to make. And actually, one of the Sarah's mom goes down there. I don't know if she's involved too, but that's Carrollwood Bible Chapel. It just was a really big blessing to them. Isaiah 6:8 says, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' Then said I, 'Here am I, send me.'" And that's what the Lord wants us to say. It doesn't mean that you're going to be going far away, but it may mean that you're going to go across the street. But God wants His people to say, "I'm ready to go." And for those who are not going to faraway places, we pray that you will pray the Lord of the harvest to send more laborers out into the harvest. I'm going to close here, but I got a couple of minutes. So if you've got a question or something like that, I've kind of flew through things tonight. My goal was to challenge you to pray for others to establish new assemblies, for others to go and to translate the Word of God. Any questions before I close in a word of prayer? I know I'm quick. Okay, let's just close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your love to us. We thank you so much for the precious Word of God. We thank you, Father, for how we see it transform lives, for people who, when they're transformed, Father, they go out and they serve you, and we thank you for people who serve you here, and we thank you for brothers and sisters around the world. We thank you for their testimony, Father, as they reach out to neighbors and sometimes difficult places and difficult mountainous situations or places where the gospel is not accepted and where people are persecuted. Father, we think of our brothers and sisters that are in places of persecution tonight. We look at that area tonight where there's millions of people who have not heard the gospel. Many have been taught not to listen to the gospel or not to read the Word of God. And so we just pray for Christians to be bold wherever they are, and even here, Father, that we would be ready to share the Word of God to those we come in contact with. So, Father, pray you would bless each one tonight from your Word, and we pray again for safety to return to our homes, and we pray these things in your Son's precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you.